on the top of the speaker, please.
Oh, yeah.
You're on. How's the mic? In the back, it's okay too? Okay. Just then move just a little bit this way. This way. Okay. Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Daksurandalitam Yena Asmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manopistam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadakti Sapatantikam Vancha kalpa tarupyascha kripa sindhu vayeva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasade Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Remember the first thing that I said yesterday is that it worked. And that by not advertising and kind of creating a requirement of real interest to come, it really facilitated the community coming together really quickly. I think I spoke to Jamuna Pavani, and she said, yeah, everybody seemed to enter. And when you lead a retreat, that's the anxiety for the organizer, you know, for people to enter. You know, when people, any of you that come to Vrindavan, you can contact me. And, you know, so many groups. I mean, when I get back, I'll have so many people from the group here, mostly from the good state of New Jersey. As a New Yorker, I've never said that before. Okay. Then after that, Raghunath's group. After that, Bhakti Fest. After that, Kansas, who knew? A group from Canvas, Gopi from Canvas. That has Prabhupada's mercy, how does that sound? It's a state in America. A red state, if that means anything. And then, you know, one group after another. My high school, my best high school friend, from the age of 40, so like that. And what I'm concerned is them entering. And here's a little trick for any of you that do this kind of thing. The first experience a person has generally will be the lens by which they see everything else. So that's what we try to do, and I think yesterday was really wonderful, especially a long kirtan at Tota Gopinath and the Katha, and then incredible kirtan, wow, yesterday. So that was really great. I'm going to begin today with a find my notes. I do two different subjects. I just turned the book around. Okay. I'll begin with a question. Hari Parsha, really listen, because this hasn't been resolved. So I really need some pundits here for this one. It's Narada told Kamsa, Yasoda's child was actually a daughter, and Krishna is the son of Devaki. So I was under the impression, and the person who asked the question, that so many demons were being sent to kill Krishna because he was the eighth child. But here it says that Kamsa didn't know. Anybody have a resolution to that? Hari Parsha, do you have...
I'll have to see, because this is a specific Gaudiya Vaishnava thing.
Yeah. Okay, well, look at it.
Yes.
Okay? But it's nice also, you know, a lot of times we just read. And what I like to do, at least I write these Monday morning greetings, I think... you have my key? Go get in my room, there's a box. Get me one of my books called the Kirtan Sutras. You'll see a box in the room. Just one book. What I like to do is help resolve some of these contradictions. The whole Bhagavad Gita is based on an apparent contradiction. Yeah.
I was thinking about this yesterday.
I knew you would. Based on a contradiction, how can war be spiritual? And what it means, the resolution of the contradiction brings you to a deeper understanding. Otherwise, you can't resolve things. The most famous paradox I've ever heard is water, water everywhere, but not a drop to drink. Why? Because the ocean is salty. So you have to know that not all water is drinkable. That's the resolution. So if someone could find the resolution to this, it'd be very, very interesting, because it just appears. I always say, he comes with one demon after another. One Madhavananda, you have to resolve this for me. Otherwise, I won't be able to sleep. I may have to commit suicide. Which has happened for great scholars when they can't resolve, you know, because we have faith in Shastra. Okay. The other thing. Yeah. Yeah.
I have a suggestion.
What?
If you want. I mean,
what's that?
Well, Putana was sent to kill all the kids.
Yeah.
Children. So her mission in killing Krishna was part of her broader mission.
Okay. You're making it sound like it's a good thing.
Then the subsequent,
yeah,
they're all sort of taking revenge because they're all related to Putana.
Okay. That's a I also thought of a possible, answer, but it does appear to be a little bit more pointed and direct. Well, it's good. You'll think about this. We have to get on a little bit. Just from yesterday, I just want to say the point that stuck with me the most is, and I think it's just a philosophical point worth repeating, is that, Kamsa's extensive plans, and when your goal is sense gratification, it matters so much what hair of pleasure more you get in one decision or another. And that's called the mental plane, and we just go on and on and on and on. Where if you're put in the Krishna factor, then that kind of variance of a hair of sense gratification doesn't matter, You take the information at hand, okay, and I make a decision. I've done my duty, the rest is up to Krishna. And that's so important in our life. I know I was talking to one person here who's staying 5 days longer, 5 days longer than actually planned, probably costing them thousands and thousands of dollars in their business. But it was a Krishna decision. You know, I kind of have enough money to maintain myself. I really, you know, need to go here. My family, also the extra enlivenment. This is what Krishna wants, and I'll have faith. So, and that's exactly, I want to read this. That's exactly the instruction that Narada gave to Kamsa after hearing, okay, this plan, okay, you know, bring him here. You know, okay, go. We'll send Keshava, we'll send the Keshi demon. Okay, he doesn't kill him. Then we got the elephant, but then with the elephant, we got the wrestlers. We don't got the wrestlers, then I'll kill him. And then after I'll kill him, then after I'll kill him, then, you know, the relatives may take revenge, but while they're shocked, I'll wipe them out. And then, in case my father, Ugrasena, you know, has any plans, I'll knock him off too. And it's interesting, that rascal, he didn't, in India we know, you don't address your father by their name. And I'll just tell kind of a funny, maybe you judge if it's funny. But my father was very formal. And I like that. When I look back, I'm glad that my father was a father. And he was a master mason, a part of the conspiracy to control the world. Now we got in positions of power, now you know. But, you know, I used to say it was, they used to call him worshipful Walter Winokur. Because he was a master mason. You know, he had the apron and the thing. He's a good father. And he would sit in his father's chair in the living room, and I'd come down from the bedroom, and he'd be sitting there, and I'd look at him, his name was Walter, and I'd say, how you doing, Wally? And he would look at me and he'd say, I am not your friend, I'm your father. I said, okay, they're actually in the room with the posada. Okay. And then I would say, okay, Wally. So,
how old were you?
What?
How old were you?
I can't remember, but it was somewhere between 8 and 16. But it was it. He called him, you know, Ugraji. He called him Ugrasena. So you just see all. And actually speaking, that's actually an important philosophical point. And that's brought out in when the son of Shamaka Rishi cursed Maharaj Prickett. And he had the power to do so. And the commentary is so interesting. What happens to the world, the greatest threat to the world, is when people have power without culture. And the whole Indian system was the people who would be leaders, they were really trained in culture. You know, especially powerful warriors, they always were restrained by Brahmins and they had that culture. Okay, so here is, therefore what Narada did after hearing, you know, all these plans, and he's kind of the advisor, he said, okay, I'll do it, but consider this. And I guess that's also, the Brahmins detach. At least you give the advice. So this was his advice. He said, you have expertly devised a process to free yourself from misfortune. Still, one should be equal in success and failure, since it's actually destiny that produces the results of one's work. I'm going to read that again because it's very powerful. It's such a personal thing. Yasoda's child was actually you have expertly devised a process to free yourself of misfortune. Still, one should be equal in success and failure, since it's certainly destiny that produces the result of one's work. And I read some commentaries there that, you know, this destiny factor, it'll save you a lot of time and effort and, you know, there's a limit to your control. There's five factors of action. One is the endeavor. So you have to do your part. I remember the story that Radhanath Swami told me that when he was living on that hill with, Ramesh Baba, and at that time there could be pythons and dacoits and, you know, so many things. And he said, Radhanath Swami said, how can we sleep outside? It's so dangerous. He said, you have to, you know, just depend on Krishna. Krishna will protect you. Radhanath Swami said, okay. He's sleeping outside, and then he wakes up and he sees Ramesh Baba has a stick about this big. So he said, wait a second, you told me to depend on Krishna. What's that stick? He said, well, you have to do your little part. So it's actually a very, very nice balance. And actually, you know, there was actually a discussion between, in the Mahabharata, between Yudhisthira and Draupadi on how much your own endeavor can change your fate. And Draupadi took the position that, you know, your endeavor really can change your fate. And there are Shastric statements like that in different Shastras. You can change your fate by your effort and your determination. And Yudhisthira said no. So Draupadi's argument was, okay, it doesn't depend on your endeavor. Okay, have an agricultural field and don't plow it. You know, see how much vegetables you get. And then Yudhisthira said, okay, you plow your field. What happens if there's no rain? So it's a balance. Okay, before I get to the subject at hand, just wanted to because we go to, you know, there's so many things to do. You know, I think maybe the objective of the retreat, more than just educational, is experiential, just engaging in Panchanga Bhakti and having that experience. But there's a lot of aspects to it. You know, we concentrate on kirtan, we concentrate on katha, there are holy places, etc. So I just wanted to add a little something about the holy place that we went yesterday and maybe today, just briefly. That Tota Gopinath is so interesting. And one point I wanted to bring out that Seva Sadaka Rupena, Siddha Rupena Chatrahi, that these great souls, they have a form in Gaur Leela and Krishna Leela. I heard either you can have one or the other, or you can have both. But we know that the associates, they generally have a different form but the same mood. Like Jagannanda Pandit was Satyabhama. And Satyabhama was very, very heavy. And Jagannanda, in his relationship with Lord Chaitanya, was very, very heavy. We didn't have time to go to his place and the deities. On Saptarishi Road, there's so many temples of Lord Chaitanya's associates. But Jagannanda Pandit was very heavy. But Gadadhar, who was the head priest in the Tota Gopinath thing, was very, very gentle. Was very, very gentle. Didn't have that mood. So one analysis I heard was really, really interesting. And the analysis is that the main thing is service. So what was Krishna's desire in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? It was to take the mood of Radha. So if Gadadhar had that mood, it would force Chaitanya or Krishna, the form of Chaitanya, to keep the mood of Krishna. So he came without that mood. But what was the service? The service was to help Krishna in the form of Chaitanya get the mood of Radha. And how did he do that? By teaching the Bhagavata. Every day at Tota Gopinath, Lord Chaitanya would come and learn the Bhagavatam from Gadadha, who is Radha. So I think that's a really significant point for us, that you want Raganuga Bhakti, you want to develop your, it's the Bhagavatam. It's the method how Radha taught Krishna to have her mood. So what a significant place, and we get to go there every day in the morning. I think people leave at 4:45. Maybe there's another batch at 5, and maybe another batch at 5:15. But there. Okay. Today we're going to Siddha Bakul. I'll just tell you one story about that, the significance of Siddha Bakul. It was my first Puri Yatra. Maybe, Jivan, you may have been on that one. It was the first Puri Yatra, and I was doing a Harinam with the straight edge Vaishnavas in front of the Jagannath Mandir. And I have my samskaras, you know. I call it ugly American. And, you know, we like a certain order and rules that doesn't exist in India. Tell me about it, Hari Kirtan. So we were doing kirtan, and a shopwala came up in the middle of the kirtan and stuck something in my face. You know, get away! This is my space. You violated my safe space. Get away! No! And then when I went back to the ashram, the image of what the shopkeeper was trying to give me was in my eyes. And it was a beautiful carved Chaitanya in Gambira out of Siddha Bakul wood. And that deity has now traveled to preach in Iran, by the way, which is an amazing story how that deity went to Iran. But it was really beautiful. It may have been one of the first Siddha Bakul deities. Now people have Siddha Bakul deities, and hopefully they're Siddha Bakul. But I was back in the Birla ashram, and there was a godbrother of mine, Bimala Prasad, and he was second initiated by Bhakti Pramod Puri Maharaj, who is considered, I believe, one of the, like the Pujari in the Gaudiya Math, like very learned on these things. So I had this deity, and I said, take this deity to him and tell me how it should be worshipped, Siddha Bakul. And then the message came back, was really startling. It said that because before this tree, that Lord Chaitanya used to come every single day before he went to the Jagannath Mandir, because Haridas Thakur chanted 3 lakhs of Harinam every day before this tree, and because Rupa Goswami was reciting all its poetry before this, he said, you can consider this like almost a Govardhan Shila, he said. Almost like a self-manifest. You could worship it as almost Krishna. So we're going to go there today before that tree and have our prayers for deepening our Nam chanting, or chanting of the holy name. So we'll do this. Okay, now we'll start the, we'll continue on the the verse for today. Okay, take me a little while to, not too much time. So we're going to start in chapter 38. What I was studying is 36. So I'll just tell you what happened in 37. What happened in chapter 37, when Kamsa finds out that this is the eighth child, then he sends Keshi demon to Vrindavan. And he assumed the form of a horse, the Keshi demon. And why is it called Keshi demon, the hair demon? Because the most beautiful thing about a horse is its mane. This is a Prabhupada said, I'm not sure, I think I heard he said it, but someone said, oh, Prabhupada, you know, the cow is the most beautiful. Prabhupada said, no, the horse is. Horse is very beautiful, the Keshi demon, because the mane, the hair, and Krishna kills it. In the morning he kills the Keshi demon, this is chapter 37, then Narada Muni comes and tells him, yada yada hi dharmasya. You got your duty, you got to go. Then, in the later afternoon, Krishna kills the Vyomasura demon. And then, Akura arrives in the evening. So basically, while chapter 37 is happening, the description of what Akura is doing on that day is chapter 38. Because he arrives in the evening, after it all. So now we're going to go back. We're going to go back to Akura, and he's told to go. Even though he advised Kamsa against this. Now, I mentioned one reason why I think this particular pastime and story is very important. And the first reason is, it's one of the things, at least the end of this story, is one of the meditations of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to inspire within him his internal desire to have the mood of Sri Radha. Not only have the mood of Sri Radha, but have the mood of Sri Radha at the height of her love. And that happens in that particular pastime. As that chariot, when they find out that Krishna is going, it's described that Krishna is so beautiful that when a gopi first sees Krishna, she never wants to look on the face of another person again. We can't imagine. This is Krishna. It's attractive, but it's absolute attractiveness. So you can think of anything you've ever been attracted to sensually, emotionally, and increase it by an unlimited number. How attractive is that? And how much the love wells when you're going to lose it. So what is that feeling? And not only how much that love wells, but how much the love increases of the person who loves you the most. Radha. That's the last day we'll read that part of the pastime, what those feelings are. In three levels, Krishna is going. Then the chariot moves. That's a second level. Madhavananda, what are the three terms for that? Oh, you know. Krishna Kund? Yeah, what is it? No, say it. Krishna Kund. It's okay. Okay, there's three terms. And I translate it into English for perhaps only maybe Hari Kirtan would know, I don't know. Going, going, gone.
How about that?
You understand. Because some of the things I say have a particular frame of reference for someone from New York who's over 65 years old, 60 years old. If any of you want to know the confidential meaning, I'll tell you later, but it's going, going, gone. They find out he's going, then they watch him going, and then he's gone. And there's different level, and the separation increases, it's so intense. So that's one reason. And the second reason is this story gives the science of how to go to Vrindavan. Anybody want to come to Vrindavan? Hare Krishna. You want to go to Vrindavan? This is the science. And there's two things that are discussed here. Is one, the level of our aspiration and hankering. It's not, I mentioned this many times, our separation from God is not a physical distance, it's a matter of consciousness. And really, it's a matter of faith. Because faith is not I believe or I don't believe, it's the level of trust you have that this is good. The more you have value, what it means to be associated with Krishna and have devotional service, the quicker you'll be there. And in fact, you will be there. If you want Krishna, you'll have Krishna. So the whole process of bhakti is increasing that desire. And one of the main ways to do that is to actually hear about the object of your aspiration and hear about the people who have that type of love. That was Lord Chaitanya's example himself. How did he increase his relationship with Krishna? He heard about Krishna and he heard about the people who love Krishna. And that's what Rasa Shastra means. Not only Rasa Shastra, that's what drama means. What drama means, it takes an emotion, it recreates the emotion so that you can experience that emotion. Any type of theater is like that. What to speak of classical Rasa Shastra, what to speak of the stories of Krishna, Bhakti Ras. They take that mood. And in that regard, it's just a practical statement by the French philosopher Voltaire, where he said, that which you appreciate gradually belongs to you. So what you appreciate, and when it becomes exclusive and intense, that's what attracts Krishna's mercy. And in fact, you can't attain that without mercy. And therefore, the second reason how Akura attained Vrindavan, he favored the devotees and he helped them. See, because he was the assistant of Kamsa, and it was a horrible job. You think you have a bad job? you don't like your boss, Betty? Kamsa. But he did it because all his brothers, he had so many brothers, all his brothers left immediately. He stayed. Because he had that faith. And what's the faith he had? Krishna is so good, it's worth any price to get him. That's one of the favorable aspects of bhakti. Utsaha nishtiyat daryat. You have to have confidence and faith. And what's that faith? Oh my God, my world is, I'm a devotee of Krishna, and now my world has turned upside down, and now this happens to me, and then this happens to me, and again, and now I'm over the cliff, and the branch is breaking, and it appears that Krishna's on the other side soaring it as it's cracking. Is he going to save me? But the real devotees are the ones that feel that they have that faith that this is a small price to pay. Jayadvaita Maharaji once gave me a book. It was a small book about how Christianity was spread. I don't know if you remember this. You remember the author?
He's the premier sociologist of religion in America. I'm trying to remember his name.
Okay, you'll find out. Because it was really an interesting book. It was a very interesting book. The book is very interesting. It showed, how did Christianity go from a small cult in the Middle East to become the world's premier religion? And the guy is very bright. It wasn't a long book, because there wasn't that much research you can do. But what he did, he described it, the different factors. One of the factors was the martyrs. Martyrs. There were many Christians that were slaughtered. And threatened to give up your faith or we'll torture you. And they were tortured. And when people saw this, they were thinking, what do they have that's so valuable that they're willing to tolerate this to get it? So that's the Vaishnav's mood. When you have that faith, then when you go through difficulties, then it's a small price to pay if you understand what Krishna, if you actually understand what Krishna is and his association. So Akura had that faith, but that wasn't the only reason he stayed, because it would give him a better chance of seeing Krishna. But that's not the only reason he stayed. The other reason that he stayed is because Kamsa was oppressing Krishna's parents. So he wanted to stay close because he was an advisor. And you know, when these people are advisors and they're very, very intelligent, they know people's minds and they know how to influence people's minds. They can read minds. There's actually a book that I read by Malcolm Gladwell called, it was called Blink. But the part of the book that was so interesting, it discussed how these two scientists started to study the correlation between the muscles in the face and what the mind is thinking. And they actually isolated like 360 muscles. And if you actually look at people, you can understand that you can read their minds, but what you see. And different people have different abilities to do that. And someone who doesn't have any ability to do that is called autistic. They don't have the ability. And then someone who, it's marginal, but he doesn't, it's called Asperger's. You know, it's not as bad as autism, but he can't really read minds. And then there's people that profoundly can read minds. And those people actually become advisors and ministers, you know, diplomats. They really have that ability. So Akura had that ability. So, you know, sometimes Kamsa would get angry with Vasudev, and, you know, he would be able to influence him. Oh, Vasudev, that guy. You want to bother with him? See, he was always kind of looking out. So because of that service to Krishna's father, he also got the blessing. So these two things. Now we'll go to the, and I'm sure we can cover a few verses. So this is verse 1 of chapter 38. And don't chant responsively. Sri Sukha Uvacha Akruro pichatam ratrim madhu puryam mahamati Ushava ratam astaya prayayau nanda gokulam. Sukadeva Goswami said, after passing the night in the city of Mathura, the high-minded Akrura mounted his chariot and set off for the village of Nanda Maharaj. So, after spending the night, and because he was told, you have to leave. And Kamsa was in such an emotional state that he couldn't be. I was preaching one particular issue, and Satchinandana Swami heard me, you know, trying to clear someone's doubts. And he said, Marge, you don't understand. It's not an intellectual issue, it's an emotional issue. Don't try to logically explain someone when the issue is emotional. That class that you gave on Jayadwaita Marja and high clear thinking, what was it called? Clear?
Straight thinking, strong speaking.
Yeah, I was studying different arguments. I got this book, How to Win an Argument, by someone named Gilbert. One argument is, if you deal with a fanatic, don't argue with him. And just ask the question, what would it take to convince you? And you'll find out there's nothing. So Kamsa was in that emotional state. You know, so he said, go. And it was completely impractical. What do you mean, go now? I'll wind there in the middle of the night. This is not like, you know, the 21st century would have neon signs. It's just going to be completely dark. And where am I going to sleep? And do you really think that it's the best time with this important message that I wind up there right in the morning when Krishna is leaving for the forest? Better I arrive in the evening when Krishna is coming back from the forest. See, Akrura, he's a very bright, you know, he's a thoughtful person. But the dilemma is, Kamsa is in this emotional state. So he takes the chariot and he drives the chariot across the border. And then it says, he passed the night. Now, the word here, it says, astaya, which means mounted, but ah means he slightly mounted. And he slightly mounted the chariot because he was such a devotee that he wanted to offer this to Krishna. And therefore he didn't want to use it himself. So what did he do? He stayed up all night, which was okay because it was a codicil. And that's the way they followed a codicil. In those days, the way you follow the codicil is you take one meal the day before, wake up on a codicil, near jal, no water, stay up the night, don't sleep the next day, and then take one meal. As opposed to my codicil. If I was fast from food, I'd be like a squirrel and collect it for the next day. At least when I first started my Akadasi. You know, and actually, I just can't believe it. And, you know, Pradyumna was telling me, and our godbrother Pradyumna, he basically lived with every Gaudiya Mathacharya and every scholar in India at one time in his life. So he said, yeah, oh yeah. He said, yeah, these old Vaishnavas, they follow like this. I said, well, how do they do this? How do they do this? He said, well, it's like an exercise. When you exercise, it's like training. They train themselves. And a crew is like this. And he stood up the whole night. and he wouldn't stamp, sit on that chariot. You can actually see, you know, that when people have this kind of vows in their consciousness, in that kind of culture, you know, because yes, Pancharatna and myself and different, you know, we've been in India for like 40, 50 years, I can't, you know, and so we had a little experience with people of another era and how they would make vows and how the whole culture and society was just instilling in them honesty. So if they said something, Bhishma, big Kshatriya, I won't get married. Bhishma means terrible vow. Krishna's father, comment on him. There's nothing too difficult for a man of character in the execution of their duty. This is how people were. So they make this vow. I'm feeling humbled, and a lot of other people in the audience are feeling, oh, man, I can't do this. Oh, I'm not a devotee. Not only did he stay up all night, but he was so excited to see Krishna, he didn't even eat the next day. And therefore, this this is called, it's called Mano Rita. It's the chariot of the mind that carries you to Vrindavan. Not the physical vehicle. But if you come to Vrindavan, Krishna somehow becomes very pleased. He's actually very pleased this soul has come to Vrindavan. Unless, like Kaliya, you start to mistreat the devotees. Otherwise, he's very pleased. Someone has come to my, it's like someone coming to my home and someone's a very cultured person. They're very excited. So he stays up all night, and then here it is. It's called Mahamati. Mati is mind. We know that from Prabhupada's brilliant translation of Rupa Goswami's verse from the Padyavali. Sri Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavato Mati. Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness. Mati, the mind. Hari Parsad, give me an exact translation. Sri Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavato Mati.
It's a mind which is completely drenched in the loving mellows of Krishna Bhakti.
The mind which is completely drenched in the loving mellows of Krishna Bhakti. The International Society for the Loving Mind, completely drenched in the loving... You see, Prabhupada thought Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada was expert in everything, including branding. Krishna consciousness. So, Mati, the mind, Maha, great mind. This story is going to be about a great mind. It's about the mind that you have to have if you want to be with Krishna. And what is his mind? No other thought but Krishna's name, form, and pastimes. Plunged in the ocean of his aspirations to see Krishna. Just that becomes his complete absorption, Maha. In the next verse, it's described Mahabhaga, greatly fortunate. Greatly fortunate. That's what fortune is. That's what faith is. Faith is when you have the facility to remember Krishna. Fortune. Like, we're very fortunate to be here. 6 days. Krishna, 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 Krishna. Okay, I'll tell a short story. It won't take us off too much. My parents didn't like me going, being in Krishna consciousness. So they tried to give me a higher taste, which almost becomes a Woody Allen film. They take me to a Broadway show. They figure that this is going to give me a higher taste. So we're waiting outside the Broadway show, and then, give me the cartels. And all of a sudden, because the devotees used to do a lot of street Harinam in that time, in the distance we hear, and who is in the kirtan but my eccentric former roommate in college. Name was Ikshobhya, and he was so intense, and he gave me a Hare Krishna electric ecstatic hug. And then, after the show, which was a horrible Broadway show, I wasn't.
What was the show?
Enter Laughing. In other words, I felt I lost my cast and still I'm hungry. I didn't get anything from it. Enter Laughing. My father after the show said, all I could think about was Krishna, 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 Krishna. So, okay, so, and then he set off for the Cowherd Village. And just imagine, you know, when we go a place, we get really excited. Imagine his excitement after 12 years waiting. Now he's going to go to Vrindavan and see Krishna. And Nanda Gokulam. And where is he going? Nanda Gokulam. Not just Gokul, Nanda Gokul. The place where Nanda is. And he's going to go there. Now we'll cover a few verses. As he traveled on the road, the great soul Akura, Mahabhaga, felt tremendous devotion for the lotus-eyed personality of Godhead, and then he began to consider as follows. So because of devotion, now this is how the mind is going to work. So, and the lotus-eyed Krishna. Meaning that this person is worthy of devotion because of his beautiful qualities. They sometimes use a word, lotus. But every part of Krishna can be described as a lotus. But the lotus-eyed, it's a term for Krishna, lotus-eyed. He's so beautiful. In fact, coming up is a very interesting comment, because Akura is going to start, his aspirations are going to increase. His thirst is going to increase. First, he's not even sure if he's going to be accepted. And then he goes into a meditation, what's going to happen? And then he's seeing that Krishna's hand is going to be on his head because he's going to pay obeisances. He said otherwise, Krishna's hand would never be on his head because it's his uncle. And he'd be a little sensitive to the etiquette. You know, you don't bless your superior. He said, but when I'm on the ground and I'm coming up, he may put his hand. And that hand will be fragrant from wiping the perspiration and fatigue from the gopis after the rasa dance. And therefore, the hand will be sugandhika, which is a special type of lotus that grows in Manasarovara, that's considered to have the utmost fragrance. But when the acharyas are writing this, they say, how can we compare Krishna to a lotus? I mean, a lotus is fragrant, It's soft, it's beautiful. That's a good description of Krishna, of every part of Krishna, that he's soft, he's fragrant. Later what's going to happen is Akrura is going to wind up coming. And, you know, when Krishna came home, he first went to his mother, who was kind of relieved to see him, but also Krishna, when she would put on the jewelry in the morning, he said, I don't want the jewelry. I'm going out to the forest. It's coming. I want to dress you so nicely. You should look very beautiful. My child, no, I don't want the jewelry. But now he had no excuse. He's home. So the mother's putting on the jewelry and the sandalwood paste and the fragrance. And then Akrura, when he got off the chariot, he saw Krishna at a distance. He could smell Krishna. So Sugandhika. So Krishna's described a lotus. And it says, when you say Krishna's hands like a lotus, that's not really the right interpretation. A lotus is like Krishna's hand. Krishna's hand is like a lotus. And a lotus becomes that way because it reflects Krishna's hand. So this bhaktim param upagata, this extreme devotion, this spot, which is for Krishna. He's the worthy object of devotion. I used to know this verse in the second canto where it gave the reasons why Krishna is the worthy object of the devotion. And there's different words were there, I forgot them. One is nitya, because he's eternal. you want to devote yourself to something without duality, it should be eternal. And see, he experienced this. And he just felt tremendous devotion for Krishna, who's worthy of it. Do another verse. Okay, we can do another verse or two. Kimaya charitam badram kim taptam paramam tatapa kim vatap yarite datam yadraksham yadya keshavam. Sri Akura thought, what pious deeds have I done? What severe austerities undergone, what worship performed, what charity given. So today I will see Lord Keshava. Now, while he's saying Lord Keshava, the Keshi demon is in Vrindavan. And Krishna has not yet killed him. Because this is the night before the day that the Keshi demon went in the morning. So it says Keshava, and I said that before, that it means also one who increases one's hair and makes it very beautiful. And therefore, by seeing that hair, millions and millions of people attain liberation. So you can imagine, isn't it nice? Krishna's like taking care of his hair. And then he's reflecting, how has this happened? I think we should have the same reflection. I'll say it in the local vernacular. How the hell did we get here? What have we done? Amazing. Prabhupada's mercy. Prabhupada gave us Vrindavan. He gave us Mayapur. He's given us Puri. He's given us the holy name. Nama Shreshtam Manumapi Satchiputram Atvasarupam Rupam Tasyagrajam Uduparim Matara Gostavatim Radha Kundam Girivaram Maho Radhika Madhavasam. By the mercy of Guru. Nama Shreshtam. The best thing, the holy name. Manumapi Sachi Putram, Lord Chaitanya. Tasyagrajam Uruparim Matara. Radha Kundam, Girivaram, so many things. Why? That's all I get. All the hard work I've done, this is all I get. Why? Because he can't figure out the reason why. And he's reflecting, what good works have I done? What austerity? And there's an interesting thing, because when I was looking this up, it said that tapa can mean austerities or giving pleasure to other living entities. So I thought about that. Wow, that's difficult. The austerity of giving pleasure to other living entities? I'd much rather criticize them. That's an austerity. That's an austerity. Someone who's nematsara nam sitam, doesn't have any hate in their heart. Doesn't have what Prabhupada, when he gave the definition of Paramahamsa as doesn't have the propensity to criticize others. It's a real austerity. Because you're in the world. And you know what the world is? I refer to the cartoon that Bhuri Jan Prabhu showed me. God with a smock, is it called? Like a white dress and a big gray beard. He's in a simple laboratory making the earth planet. And you see these bare cupboards, and it has cans, Negroes, Latinos, Caucasians. Maybe God isn't politically correct yet, but anyway, he has the different cans, you know, and he's making the world by shaking the cans on the world. And the can he's shaking, and the caption is saying, because you see all the other cans, you know, Chinese, all kinds of, whatever it is, all the different type of people. And he's shaking this can on the earth, and he says, a strong dose of this, and you see idiots. So, have I performed the austerity? Have I performed the austerity of giving pleasure to others and not criticizing and not doing difficulties? And then he's thinking like this very, very deeply. And then he says, otherwise, and this is the conclusion, arete dattam, I have given, if I have given charity, and the charity means, have I given service to a Vaishnav worthy of respect and worship? That was his conclusion. It wasn't his paramam, his severe austerity, his good works. Maybe I've served a Vaishnava that's worthy of worship and respect. And I think as we sit here, maybe that's the only reason we're here. That's the power. Maybe that service, he thought, to Vasudev, Krishna's father, has given me this mercy to come. Otherwise, I can't figure it out. And then, since I am a materialistic person, Vishaya Atmana. Wow. Vishaya Atmana. One whose soul is invested in sense gratification. I am serving Kamsa. And I'm a royal person. We enjoy. I'm in the government. And I'm absorbed. I think it is difficult for me to have gotten the opportunity to see Lord Uttamashloka. I think it's as difficult as it would be for one born as a Sudra is allowed to recite the Vedic mantras. How is this possible? I am going to see Uttamashloka. And Uttamashloka Darshana. I'm going to see Uttamashloka Darshanam. Uttamashloka means? Hi, Parshad, what are some definitions of Uttamashloka? How does it refer to Krishna?
It refers to Krishna because he is the only one. Uttamashloka, I mean, in all the choicest verses of poetry, it is Krishna who is glorified.
He's the only one worthy
yeah.
of the topmost verses of poetry can only refer to him.
Right.
Another definition, or that's just a basic one?
That's the etymology.
Uttamashloka, the top verses only refer to him. And who am I? And I'm going to see Krishna? And I'm Vishya Atmana? I'm absorbed in sense gratification? Not only absorbed in sense gratification, but I'm in the government of sense gratification. How is it possible? How is it possible? And then, we'll discuss tomorrow a little bit more, but then he comes to the conclusion. As he's thinking, and this is the mind of a great soul, in bhava, in high devotion, then he thinks, well, enough of such thoughts. After all, even a fallen soul like me can have the chance to behold the infallible Supreme Lord, for one of the conditioned soul being swept along the river of time may sometimes reach the shore. Sometimes it happens. There's all these straws in the rushing river, right? And then sometimes they're the shore. So it's possible. But he actually gets hope. It's a very interesting thing because he gets hope. He loses hope thinking of Krishna's qualities. And then he gains hope thinking of Krishna's qualities. Because Krishna is unattainable, you can't earn Krishna. But then he starts to think, Krishna is not only Uttamashloka, he's also Achyuta. And Achyuta means infallible. And what does it mean? Krishna's kindness is infallible. It never fails. Krishna is merciful. If I need mercy, and I'm humble enough to express it, I will attain Krishna. I will attain him because Krishna is merciful. He'll give me his mercy. And this is one of the qualities of advanced devotion where you contain within your consciousness these two contradictory qualities. I can never attain Krishna, I will certainly attain Krishna. When you think of Krishna, I'll never attain. When you think of yourself, I'll never attain Krishna. When you think of Krishna, I'll attain Krishna. Because Krishna is merciful. And another one of Prabhupada's brilliant, this would actually be a nice thing, Jayadvaita Maharaj, the one to do. Prabhupada's contribution to the English language. There's probably so many words where he had to.
Pastimonious, that's one.
What?
Pastimonious.
Pastimonious?
Yes, Krishna's pastimonious. It means he has all sorts of pastimes.
Did he actually? And you edited it out. You kept that one. Pastimonious. But I thought, at least hope against hope. Sometimes he used an English phrase that, Asha Bandha. Bandha means bound. Asha means hope. Your hope cannot be bound. It's actually the symptom of a great soul, which is why Krishna's father is called Anaka Dundabi. Hari Parshad, which refers to the trumpets and which refers to the drums in Anaka Dundabi?
Dundubi basically refers to those big drums.
With the sticks?
Yeah, that drum is constructed using buffalo skin. It's a huge drum.
Yeah.
And it's called as a bheri in Hindi. And they have huge sticks for...
The treble and the bass on each stick.
No, it's not on both sides. It's played...
Okay, bum, 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 bum. Okay, and the other one is? Anaka is?
Panavanaka. So Anaka is basically, it refers to that drum which is played from both sides.
Okay.
But it is played using sticks. And then there is Mridanga which is played using both sides using hands.
Okay, well anyway, when Krishna was born, when Vasudeva was born, the demigods started to rum, bum, 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 bum. They started banging all these drums. And the commentary said, because someone would be born who had had asabandha, this quality, his hope would not be bound. And the example when his hope would not be bound was when he tried to pacify Kamsa from killing his wife. And he tried Sama, kind of nice words, then Beta, cause fear. Dana is bribery. He had nothing left. But he said, no, life must be saved as far as possible. That's a Shastric injunction. And he continued, and then he came up with the solution. Kamsa. It's not my wife that will kill you, it is the eighth child, and I will bring all the children to you. Oh, okay. people don't tell lies, they don't do that. Okay, I'm stopping early. Okay, Pancharatna, anything that struck you here?
Your Akura's comment about trying to figure out how can this be happening to me? How is it possible? It reminds me of the saying, well, could it be too good to be true? It's just like, Akura is thinking like this. How is it possible? And then his answers to himself are so revealing that, yes, it is possible. It may be unlikely or but still it's possible. It is happening. He didn't lose that sort of, he felt, yes, it is happening, and that increased his
by even, Krishna's mercy.
By his mercy.
Krishna Shendra, anything that particularly struck you?
Thank you, Maharaj, for pointing out that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu relished this pastime and the reason why he relished it, and for pointing out that this pastime, how did you put it, is the science of how to go to Vrindavan, because yesterday I received an email from a young devotee asking, he said, I have opportunity to go to Vrindavan from Europe for the first time to India, but he was asking, is this okay? I would only be able to go to Vrindavan, not to Mayapur. And I wrote back saying, well, it's often said, we hear that it's good to go to Mayapur first to get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya first, then go to Vrindavan. But I said, you can go to Krishna Balaram Mandir first and, you know, throw yourself in front of Gaur Nitai and beg for their blessings. But now, hearing this, I have to write a P.S. to my letter to say, and before you go, read the story of Akrura going to Vrindavan.
Idiots,
yeah. That did strike me.
I think the cap must have come off while he was...
On a similar vein, leadership without culture is a menace to society. I live in Washington, D.C. I just couldn't help but hang out with that for a few minutes.
Let's not chant that mantra here.
Okay.
Okay, all right, Parsad, and then Mother Nanda.
Maharaj, I'll repeat the translation that Prabhupada has given for the verse which you spoke.
Okay.
He says, since I am a materialistic person absorbed simply in sense gratification, I think it is difficult for me to have gotten this opportunity to see Lord Uttama Shloka, as it would be for one born a Shudra to be allowed to recite the Vedic mantras. So here Akrura says that it is difficult for me to see you, but still I am able to see you, just as it is difficult for a Shudra to pronounce Vedic mantras. But we've never heard of any place in the Vedic literature where a Shudra is actually allowed to recite Vedic mantras. And the commentators say that there is only one exception in the entire Vedic mantra. There's only one mantra and only one person is allowed to recite that, and that person is called as Rathakar, one who knows the science of chariots.
Knows the science of what?
Chariots.
Chariot.
Yeah, so Akrura actually fits in the entire analogy because Akrura is the person who knows the science of chariots. And one small thing. This devotee commentator Hari Suri says that unless a person becomes truly akrura, free of cruelty, he cannot walk on the path of Vrindavan with an eager desire to see the lotus feet of Lord Krishna.
That's saying, because akrura literally means not cruel.
Yes.
Which the gopis were thinking, wow, this is a strange name for someone who would take a Krishna.
Hare Krishna, thank you for another wonderful class. I came to class with two questions from chanting japa and from things that we heard yesterday, and you answered one of them. And my question was, how is it, are we going to go deeper into the Dham by our, it's not by our qualification, you know, because I've been trying to go deeper into the Dham, but I'm not, I only have so much Bhakti Sukriti, not very much. So how is it that someone who's not qualified to go deeper can go deeper? So what I picked up from points that you made in your class was different points about how destiny shapes your future, but destiny isn't all. We have to make our endeavor, you know, the two fingers. So if you wanted to speak more on that, you could, but anyway, I did get some... I get some pointers and encouragement.
Our lack of qualification becomes our qualification.
Yeah.
If
yeah.
we're humble enough to realize it and express it.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of Kali Yuga, because we don't have much qualification. Okay. Any lady have a reflection? Anybody? Krishna Kun?
You talked about Mahabhaga and you said how fortune means the facility to remember Krishna.
Yeah.
I really love that. And then it reminded me, you also spoke about how if we want Krishna, we will have Krishna. It reminded me of our Gurudev shouting that if you cry for Krishna, then you will have Krishna, like Dhruva Maharaj got. and like that. And also, one very important thing for me was how you spoke about Akura realizing his lack of qualification, how important it is that we realize our fortune, because that's the only reason he thought about it even, that if we don't realize that we have such a facility, such a good fortune, then we can't make the most of the opportunities given to us by Srila Prabhupada and devotees.
Yeah, if you don't feel fortunate, you'll never feel mercy or love. It's like a spoiled child. If he doesn't feel fortunate, it doesn't matter what the parents give him or her, he won't feel any love. I think that's the essence of the verse, Trinada, peace, and Ichena. Why a humble person can always chant, or always, because a humble person can feel love. Madhunanda, I remember the Bhakti Center gave a great seminar on entitlement. That was fantastic. In one pastime on Gaura Lila, that was great. Okay, I'm going to follow Jayadvaita Maharaj's advice and stop when I'm ahead, because we really want to get out on time today. And I'll mention something
in that regard, especially today, because we're going to go to Siddha Bakul, and we like to have a nice kirtan. We like to have a little time for a small japa seminar, maybe a half hour, and then some time for the people to really internally get deep, and have enough time to go to the Jagannath Mandir, which is about, and to do some kirtan in front of the Jagannath Mandir, and end it all up by about 1 o'clock, so we get back, you know, on time. So, after the announcements, I think it's safe. Like exactly at 10 o'clock, we'll have breakfast.
9 o'clock.
9 o'clock. Thank you. Sometimes in my, I was going to say ecstasy, but I'll say Alzheimer's. more. Exactly at 9 o'clock, we'll have breakfast. And 10 to 10, the kirtaneers have to be out there. And Madhavananda, at 10 o'clock, we'll just head out the gate. It takes about 20, 30 minutes, maybe 30 minutes to get there. So we can have kirtan for a little while, a little japa seminar, and then have time to go in front of Jagannath Mandir and do kirtan. Okay? There's some other announcements? Okay. Okay. Please take good care of the keys, because we have to pay for lost ones. So when you go out to Ishapani, you like, there's a place to keep the room keys downstairs in the big room where we keep the prasadam. They have a thing where you can just hang your keys on a number. That room has two doors. The keys are in a cabinet behind the door close to the Ishapati entrance. Yeah, it's on the bottom floor, the last room on this side. Okay. We can continue to print out songs, but if devotees have WhatsApp, please take advantage of the facility to sign up for Puri Kirtan, because people lose song sheets. Okay. And that group also receives songs, photos, etc. You could sign up by writing to our moderator, WhatsApp moderator. Number is posted on the notice board downstairs under the schedule. Vanavi Harini sent out today's Jagannath Astakam because we're going to the Jagannath Mandir. Most devotees have registered. Thank you. If you're not registered, please do today afternoon for Jamuna Pavani. Okay. I mentioned the story about the person who makes the deities out of Siddha Bakul, I guess Krishna Kund. After today's parikram, if you're interested, she'll take you to that shop. Two things. He's very old now. He doesn't have the skills he had 20 years ago, because I had to make another one for me.
and he just doesn't have the skills he had, but okay. Okay, it just says, okay, we need a volunteer. You see, Krishna, okay. We need a volunteer to clean up after we take Jagannath Prasadam. Last year we had the great devotee Lal Govinda cleaned up everything and every floor every day. So we don't have that. Okay? Okay, and we need three. Is that men or women? Okay. Okay. We need three male Prabhus.
Or very strong mother.
Okay. To help after the evening program to pack everything away. So who's a good person to see you for that? Raise your hand. Okay, he needs some volunteers after the program. Okay? And those persons who help with the prasadam within a few minutes.
Yeah. At 9 o'clock.
What?
When the kirtan ends at 9 o'clock.
That's right.
And when I need help.
In the evening?
Yes.
Well, it may end a little early, between 8:30 and 9. Okay, so please try to be on time, because Madhavananda and myself, exactly at 10 o'clock, I'm going to leave. Okay, Srila Prabhupada, ki jai. Wait, stay here.
Just to mention that this evening's prasadam is sponsored in memoriam for Induleka Devidasi, who departed recently in Sridham Mayapur.
Hey.
Hey.
So, well, please give her your blessings and prayers. Sometimes you can offer the devotional activity that you perform to another person. Maybe a little portion of whatever you get here goes to her. Especially when you're eating that Jagannath Prasad sponsored in her honor. Okay? Oh, one other thing. I have a new book that came out, the Kirtan Sutras.
Yeah.
Oh.
Jagannath Priya, maybe after lunch today? Between maybe 2 and 2:30, you could just keep it. After lunch today, she'll have the books at the main counter. Okay, you can do that.
Yeah.
What?
We don't have a book. Yes, I should do this. We don't have a book.
Where? Okay. We'll start. Okay, she'll be there, and then in the future, the books will be there. Okay. We'll also have a book table for Gopalju Publications. But you can stay by the main counter between 2 and 2:30 if you want the book. Any donation you give. Here are the sutras. I only have one copy. Oh, I got a few more. First come, first serve. Okay. Shubhava ki jai.
Thank you.